Did you know your destiny is greatly affected by what you say, and that you have the power to change the course of others by what you give to them through your words? Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Today, Pastor Ron Eagleton explains how to order what we say and to offer life through our spoken words with a transforming message titled, Destiny in Your Mouth.
I have no idea where I was going. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, y'all have. But listen to this. He said, and when he went in to see him, and it was the leading of the Lord to go and see him. But when we went to see him, he says, immediately he started to weep and just about look like how long I've worked and what I've done. And now they found this mess. And he was talking about, and he said to him, oh, no. He said, well, he says, oh, no, you won't be doing that. There ain't going to be no crying here. Well, what you don't know is not you. But the response was, his response to him was, because people, if you go to God, you can live with that mess and keep going. People live with that. And the people who said you're going to die from the mess, you will help bury them. And as I was listening to the words, as I was listening to those words, I was thinking, you know what made the difference in the man's life? It was not feeling bad. He was in there for one thing when they found them, but his depression was a result of a word. The doctor said it is cancerous and it is aggressive. Nothing changed in his body. It was a word. He said, and it's health to your frame, your structure, your foundation. Good words are good, pleasant words. They are healthy for your bones, your frame. When it says bones, it is health to you. It builds you up. It stands you up straight. I know I'm doing all right. So I say, but Mike, we got treasures. This room is full of treasures. And people are committing suicide because you got a treasure in your mouth that you could release to them. People are going back to their drug habits because there was nobody with life. There's that old song we used to sing, or they used to sing. It says, I've got a river of life flowing out from me. It makes the lame to walk and causes the blind to see. It opens the prison doors and sets the captive free. I got a river of life. The word of God is life. I got to hurry. Can I read another one, Proverbs 6 and 2? This one, I'm correct. Sometimes we are caught, we are trapped, we are held bound by our oaths, by the words we speak, by the places we put ourselves. You ever had something, if you just hadn't said you were going to do it, you wouldn't? You really can't remember, how did I get into this? Why did I say yes to this? But I am bound by my oath. Sometimes our words snare us. They capture us. Sometimes we're taken. I want you to listen to this carefully. Something the Lord told me a long time ago. I practice it sometimes and I forget it other times. He says there are so many things that you wouldn't have to be dealing with if you didn't claim them all. My allergies. My cold. My arthritis. Yeah, that's a better one. My Lord is much better. You understand that we claim so much that God never meant for us to have. You said, well, you know, I don't think that's all that big deal. That doesn't mean. But death and life are in the power of your tongue. You see, because words are spirit. When they're out, they're out, and they come back so you can hear them. I got a quick story I want to tell. Go to Genesis the 35th chapter. I've got four characters I want to discuss with you. Three of those characters have words to say. Glory! Wonderful Jesus. Three of them have words to say. But the three of them who are doing the talking are saying words about one who has no words. Who has no voice. There is, well, let's read it. And it's strange because it ain't but three verses. But a life changes in three verses. Read for me. What did I tell you?
You said 35.
I just said 35. I think it's 21. No, I'm sorry. 17. 35 and 17. That's Genesis 35 and 17. Hallelujah, mighty God.
And it came to pass when...
And it came to pass. Now, I'll give you a little bit of story. Good to see you, Sister Theus. Bless the Lord. You see me waving at you? Want to touch her so she can see me waving at her. All right, that'll work. Since we started meeting and greeting the visitors in the room, I don't ever get to see talk to Sister Theus anymore, so I thought I might take advantage of it today. Just good to see her back there. All right, let's go back.
And it came to pass.
And it came to pass.
When she was in hard labor.
When the first character that we encounter in this scene is a woman by the name of Rachel. Rachel was the beloved wife of Israel, of Jacob. Jacob loved her. Jacob had a number of other wives later. Jacob had the wife, Leah, her sister. But Jacob only loved one woman. He loved Rachel. He had children by Rachel, children by Leah, children by Rachel's maid and by Leah's maid, Bilhah and
Zilpah.
But he only loved her. And that was a problem with his love for her. It did not produce children. His love did not produce children. She didn't have what she needed to bring life in her body. It bothered her because she was the favorite wife. But she could not give the gift to the husband that was the greatest, especially in that time, to give. And that was, she could not give him a child. It got so bad until Leah kind of mocked her. Paraded her children in front of her. She decided, I'm going to give him my maid. She went to Jacob and she said, take my maid and we'll raise up children for me. For me. And she did that after a while. She was she controlled Jacob so much. Till Jacob loved her so much that even not having children, he still went to her tent. So one day she wanted something that Leah's children had. What was it?
Mandrakes.
Who was the son?
She didn't say, it's just my son's mandrakes.
I think it was Reuben. The son who had grabbed, who had gathered mandrakes. Rachel wanted mandrakes. So she went to the boy to ask for the mandrakes. So I asked her sister, can I have some? She said, no, you got my husband. You can't have my mandrakes. She said, I'll sell them to you for the night. Give me the mandrakes, I'll let him sleep with you tonight. That's control. That's control. And finally, Jacob interceded for her with God. And God gave her a son. She became pregnant. How many of you remember what the son's name was? What was Rachel's son's name?
Joseph.
No, that son, the first son.
Joseph.
Was Joseph. He gave her, now that's some reason for me telling you this. She gave her a son. God gave her a son. And the favorite son was her son. His name was Joseph. Do you remember what the name Joseph means? It means God will give me another one. That's what the name means. She named her firstborn with hope for the next one. Oh, God. She said, every time I call Joseph's name, I will be reminded that God will give me another one. Now, that's going to be significant as we go through this short story that I'm making long. Read it again, Corey.
And it came to pass.
Yes.
When she was in hard labor.
Now she became pregnant because she had prophesied, because the word.
Now, Pastor Ron, if our words have such great impact on ourselves and others, what should be our great concern in daily conversation and interactions?
We should keep before us the reality that we have a choice as to what we will present to those with whom we interact. We can speak words that lift them or crush them, hurt them or heal them, release them or bind them, increase them or diminish them. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. The choice is ours to make. Are we life givers or death distributors with our words?
Well, you've heard it from Pastor Ron. Now let's continue the message, Destiny in Your Mouth.
We're based on what God had already done. You need, whenever you put your foot in the place where God is fulfilling his word, put another foot in the next place. If you're going to progress, when God does one thing for you, start moving toward the next thing. Based on the thing where this foot is, put your foot on the next thing, because every word of God is true. And when you stand in the promises of God, when you stand in the revealed word of God, he'll always reveal you another word and honor you with that word. He will do that. So she says, God will give me another one. And eventually, the end of the childbearing age for her sister Leah. They're no longer offering their maids to Jacob. And even though she's coming at the end, she's glad to be counted in the number. Even though she didn't have the first child, nor the second. Even though she didn't have the third or the fourth. Even though she watched three women parade in front of her several times with swollen bellies, now her belly was swollen by a word that God was honoring. Let me tell you, sometimes your desire can consume you so that it costs you. You got to count up the cost. Now let's read this. She came at this point for this second son. This second son. I'm still talking about the first character, Rachel. The scene opens up and she's screaming from the birthing room. She has come to a time of delivery, but her delivery was hard. Is that what it said? Read.
That the midwife said unto
her. The second character that would show up in the scene is a midwife. The job of a midwife is to encourage, to strengthen, to support one who is bringing forth. Look at me, everybody. Anything God has given you, don't think you can make it by yourself. You need a midwife for everything God impregnates you with. I go to this side. Y'all ain't talking. I'm going to stay over here. See, for those of you who think you can do it all by yourself, for every promise God, every seed God plants in you, you need a midwife to help you deliver. To encourage you and say, come on, you're going there. You can make it. Don't stop now. Push. Yeah. Everything you, and it ain't yours by yourself. God supplies you with somebody to help you in encourage. Jesus told the disciples, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. Yeah. I'm going to send you a midwife. Everything I spoke to you, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. And when he comes, he'll not speak of himself. He'll bring to pass the word that I spoke into you. He'll make it. Is anybody listening to me but me? God's word is so powerful. And so is yours. Okay? So, the first character, we've introduced Rachel, but we've not heard her talk yet. But we come to the second character in the scene, and it is a woman who is the midwife, and she speaks. Now, it's distinctive. Listen to what she says. Remember, I want you to remember this. There was no ultrasound. There were no x-rays. Are you there yet? You know where I'm going? See, there was no way for her to predict using scientific methods. Now listen to what she says.
Fear not.
Fear, don't be afraid.
Thou shalt have this son.
You shall have this son.
Also.
You will have this son. Midwife, maybe it's the way she's carrying it. You know, she's carrying low. It must be a boy. Y'all don't know about this. And if she's carrying high, it must be a girl. She carried to the side. That's a boy always. You know, I can tell by the energy she had. It's a girl. A child, when you're slow like that, it's a girl. I can tell, you know, I haven't heard it all, but I heard a lot. But I'm going to tell you why she knew it was a son. The midwife knew it was a son. Because a few years ago, Rachel said, Joseph. So it's got to be a son now. Because over here, she said, Joseph. Now, let me tell you. When you get a word and you declare that word, you can't declare a word and then run over and it's finished. You got to walk in the word. Lord, please. You got to walk in a word. So, Joseph, say Joseph. Joseph, where are you? Joseph, come here. Joseph, bring me that. Joseph, you understand, she walked in that word. Every time she said the name Joseph, the word means there is going to be another. So let me go back. And she says, another, where are you? Come here, another. Bring me this another. Say another. You understand, she kept rehearsing that if anybody in here got a word from God. Does anybody in the house got a word? Anybody got a word from God? Anybody feeling some birth pains? You see, but she called Joseph before she felt anything. She called for another before there were any signs because she had declared it. I'm here to tell you, if you see no sign, keep this in mind. He shows up.
On time.
On time. So, John, thank you. Thank you. And so the midwife had heard the name Joseph so much until she spoke. She's the first speaker in the scene. Said again, don't be afraid. The Holy Ghost said to tell you, don't be afraid. The Holy Ghost said to say to you, pregnant one, don't be afraid. Is anybody got it? You don't know what's going on with the baby and something is happening inside of you. I'm not talking about a physical baby. I'm talking about a word that God has promised you. I tell you that the Holy Ghost said to say to you, don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? You shall have this son. Whoa. You shall have this son. That was enough. But a reminder, you will have Joseph. Joseph is at the end of the sentence. You will have a son also. You will have what you spoke. You will have, in addition to what you have, you will have, is anybody in the house but me? You will have. I know I'm screaming and yelling. Excuse me, debutantes, I'm going to do better. First speaker. Read for me, Corey. No, I said just the first speaker.
Fear not, thou shalt have this son also.
Now, that's the word. That's what she's supposed to encourage with. That's the job of a midwife. For those of you, some of you, listen, please listen to me. Some of you are called along not to have the baby. You're called along to tell him you can do it. I can't bother you a little bit, Brother Jenkins. But if I bother you, I have to bother your wife. So when they said what you wouldn't do and what you couldn't do, and when the Spirit of the Lord says, go back to school, every now and then the midwife's got to say, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that. Now, I'm a bit about, you know, sometimes midwives get a little bit, you know, I'm just. I'm just saying, you know. You can't drive? What you gonna do, get him drive? I just picked a little bit. She told me her brother was here, so don't pick on her today. So I had to. I could not resist it. I got some protection. Did I have some protection? All right. All right, brother. You understand that she says, you got to do it now. If she was a midwife and she had been doing this for long, if she knew all what symptoms bring on what is next, she also knew something that she didn't say. She knew you will bring forth this son. But she also knew your life is in danger, but she didn't say that. Because death and life. She didn't say, you're doing more bleeding than you should be doing. There's a problem. You're not going to be able to make it this time. You're going to have the baby, but you're not going to. Oh, God. Wonderful Savior.
If you have enjoyed what you've heard from Mount Rose Church of God in Christ, you can order this message via CD number 20121021 or write in to Mount Rose at mountrosecogic.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to serving you again next week from the City of Refuge.